Ahoy from BA. This is a Rorschach Ocean update from the 9th of December 2025, a summary of what's going down in the 70% surface of the Earth covered in salt water. Let's kick off this edition with piracy. On Wednesday the 3rd, a group of armed pirates attacked a Portuguese-flagged liquefied petroleum gas carrier about 50 nautical miles, 93 kilometers, off the coast of Equatorial Guinea in West Africa. The pirates boarded the vessel and stole personal belongings. Then they departed with 9 kidnapped crew members, leaving 4 others behind, one of whom was injured and received medical care on board. The company behind it reported that the vessel has moved to safer waters, activated its emergency response, and kept in touch with all relevant authorities. The incident highlights the persistent kidnapping for ransom threat to commercial shipping in the region. The International Maritime Bureau reported 15 incidents of armed robbery or piracy between January and September this year, recording the kidnapping of 14 crew members. While some crew members are kidnapped, others are released. On Wednesday the 3rd, the governments of Oman and the Philippines confirmed the release of 11 crew members from the sinking bulker Eternity C, which was attacked by Houthi forces in July. The freed crew included Filipino, Indian, and Russian nationals. They were released in Sana'a, Yemen, and then flown safely to the capital of Oman, Muscat. The release ends the crew's months of captivity and marks a rare humanitarian resolution amid ongoing maritime security risks in the Red Sea region. In tragic news, on Saturday the 6th, a migrant boat overturned at about 26 miles, 40 kilometers south of the small Greek island. A Turkish cargo ship detected the vessel and alerted Greek authorities. The Greek Coast Guard and the EU Border Agency participated in the rescue, recovering the boat and the victims. Unfortunately, 18 migrants drowned, but 2 people were rescued and taken to Crete. The tragedy highlights the continuing danger of Mediterranean crossings for migrants, despite increased patrols and crackdowns. In a recent update to a story from our previous show, the Gambia Maritime Administration has begun deregistering a large number of oil tankers from its registry as part of a crackdown on Russia's false flag and shadow fleet vessels. According to the maritime AI data analytics company Windward, 20 tankers are now officially listed by the International Maritime Organization as having been falsely flagged as Gambian, while Gambia's authority reports deflagging 72 vessels for fraudulent certification. However, over 550 sanctioned vessels engaged in Russian trade are still active. On a somewhat related note, the group of 7 countries and the European Union are reportedly considering replacing their existing Russia oil export price cap with a comprehensive ban on Russian oil. As part of the European Union's new sanctions package set for early 2026, the ban introduces the most significant maritime restriction so far on Russian crude. It aims to restrict Western maritime services such as shipping, insurance, and brokering to further cut Russia's energy export income. More than a third of Russia's oil is now shipped through Western carriers, while the rest is exported via clandestine fleets. If Western maritime services shut down, Russia would have to depend even more on the unregulated shadow fleets. Significant advances have been achieved in Red Sea shipping services. French carrier CMA CGM plans to be the first major carrier to restore a regular east-west shipping loop through the Suez Canal and Red Sea in early 2026. The company has already started testing transits on a few trips with less cargo on board. The restored route will reduce transit time to 77 days, about 2 weeks shorter than via the Cape of Good Hope. The restoration service on the Red Sea will proceed cautiously and gradually. Full-scale container ship traffic won't resume until carriers are confident about crew and vessel safety. After CMA CGM announced the following year's plan, another gunshot occurred in the Red Sea, raising fresh concerns for the region. On Friday the 5th, a Barbados-flagged bulker reported being approached by around 15 small skiffs, approximately 15 nautical miles, about 9 kilometers west of Yemen. These skiffs ignored the vessel's warning broadcast via its automatic identification system. When the skiffs came within 1,000 feet, 300 meters, the ship's armed security team exchanged gunfire with them. The small boat circled back and tried to approach multiple times. The bulker changed course and kept on its journey. No injuries or casualties have been reported. Let's turn our attention to China, as on Wednesday the 3rd, a Chinese coastal bulker grounded and split in two amidships off the coast of Fuzhou. The ship operating in domestic trade departed the Bohai Sea on Thursday the 27th of November and was transiting southbound. Chinese maritime safety authorities reported that the vessel broke apart, but no one was injured. The ship's automatic identification system signal has since disappeared, and the incident is under marine safety investigation. More about China, as it has deployed more than 100 naval and Coast Guard vessels across East Asian waters, marking the largest maritime display of force so far. These military exercises took place after the Japanese Prime Minister suggested that a potential Chinese attack on Taiwan might trigger a military response from Japan, and Taiwan revealed an additional $40 billion in defense spending to oppose China. The deployment reportedly involves mock attacks and access denial exercises, causing concern in neighboring Taiwan and Japan. Both countries have publicly stated that the military buildup threatens regional stability. On the flip side, some organizations have started working together. Three Antarctic research agencies, the British Antarctic Survey, Norwegian Polar Institute, and Alfred Wegener Institute have collaborated on a shared ice-capable vessel to resupply their respective stations over the next 10 years. The vessel allows loading containers in three cargo holds as well as on deck. Its first trip under the new agreement is planned for January 2026. By sharing logistics, the agencies reduce costs, ease scheduling constraints, and free up their dedicated research vessels for science missions. In other news, Morocco is set to open a new deepwater port on the Mediterranean in the second half of 2026 and plans to launch another one on the Atlantic coast in 2028. The Mediterranean port will initially provide 800 hectares, 8 million square meters, for industrial use, with plans to expand later. It will also feature Morocco's first liquefied natural gas terminal connected by pipeline to the Northwest Industrial Hubs. The Atlantic port is currently under construction, designed to offer 1,600 hectares, 16 million square meters, for industrial use and surrounded by 5,200 hectares, 52 million square meters, of agricultural zones irrigated with desalinated water. This port will be Morocco's deepest, capable of supporting heavy industry processing raw materials from inland areas. Regarding U.S. container imports, cargo volume is expected to continue to fall into 2026. The National Retail Federation and Hackett Associates reported that due to ongoing tariff volatility and changing trade policies, the number of 20-foot equivalent units handled by major U.S. ports is expected to decrease for the third consecutive month. The drop reached almost 8% in October. It is projected that it will fall to almost 12% in November and a bit below 13% in December, marking the slowest months since mid-2023. Due to tariff uncertainty faced by retailers and carriers, demand has decreased, leading to a decline in container shipping rates. Forecasts show that volumes from January to April 2026 will stay significantly below 2025 levels. Let's close this edition with some scientific research. A new research report published on Friday the 5th in the journal Nature, Ecology and Evolution found that the number of animals and species richness decreased in regions directly affected by mining machines. researchers from the Natural History Museum, University of Gothenburg, and National Oceanography Center collected 4,350 specimens across 788 species from the eastern Pacific seafloor. After comparing the worms, crustaceans, and mollusks before and after mining, they observed a 37% decline in macrofaunal density and a 32% decrease in species richness, indicating significant biodiversity loss. The study provides the first quantitative evidence that large-scale deep-sea mining can significantly damage deep-sea ecosystems. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Our new very cool t-shirts are out now. Check them out with the link in the show notes. See you next week.